Good morning, everyone, and welcome on this wonderful Christmas day. I hope and pray that Jesus will give you joy on this day that we celebrate his birthday. Last week, I mentioned that we would talk about the greatest gift, and that's what we're going to do today. First, the Apostle Paul says something that gives us a heads up to what that is. At the end of a very lengthy discussion about Christian giving, it seems that Paul just burst out with a comment about the greatest gift and the greatest giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15. He says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." There can be no question that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the greatest gift of all time, given to us by the hand of the greatest giver, and that's God himself. In God's gift, we find forgiveness, we find peace with God, we find restoration, and we find the promise of eternity away from this incredible, messy world. So do you agree that Jesus is the greatest gift? I think you would. The story of Jesus from his birth to now, it's a fascinating story, and I wanted to tell that to you, but I'm going to let a couple of musicians do that with a song and a video that Ann Elliott sent to me. Thanks, Ann, for sending it. Okay, as we continue, I want to highlight a few other gifts that you can find in the Bible, and all of these gifts are from the hand of God. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We all know we're sinners, and we all know that without Jesus, we are totally hopeless. But God, through the gift of his Son, gave us the gift of eternal life. Aren't you glad? And then continuing on, it seems that God has given each of us an individual gift. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." A wonderful set of gifts given to each of us by the hand of God for our Christian walk. So the truth is, we're a bunch of gifted people. Did you know that? Well, we are. But let's not forget the gift that God gave us in our working life as well. From the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. "I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also, listen, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." So enjoy your work and enjoy the fruits of your work. So we are a bunch of gifted people. You can almost say that we're a bit spoiled. But now let's turn the corner. God has blessed us immensely. So now it's our time to bless other people. After all, Jesus did say it's better to give than receive. Or he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So listen, in our town, or maybe even in our homes, there are a lot of people who are broken and hurting, and you and I can make a huge difference in their lives But first, we've got to get past ourselves. Let me explain that by using the following story to set the stage. This story is from a young girl who was a preacher's kid, and you know the pressures that can happen in a ministry household. She was a preacher's kid, and she found herself in a very difficult situation. This young girl's name is Cassie, and this is what she writes. The year my dad, who was a pastor at the time, was caught up in his addiction, the church leadership asked him and my mom not to attend the Christmas Eve service. The investigation was ongoing, and they wanted him to step back while it happened. What they didn't count on, I don't think, was for me to show up at the service. You see, I have a deep commitment to tradition. So when my parents said that we weren't going to the service, I resolved to go by myself. Under the weight of uncertainty and the fear of what I had suspected might just be a true accusation, I showed up to the candlelight service. Families were there to celebrate. It was Christmas after all. I found my usual spot at the front, and as the first carols rang out, my tears began to fall. I felt like an imposter. I was a cloud of grief and darkness amidst a cheerful celebration. I felt guilty for dampening the time of rejoicing. As I said, I found myself talking to Jesus. "I'm ruining your party," I told him. It was his response at that moment that changed Christmas for me forever. He told me, "Cassie, I came to the manger as a baby, not for those in celebration, but for those in mourning." He continues, "I came for you in this moment, right here." She continues, "For the first time in my relatively easy life, I was tasting heartache, and oh, if you only knew how much would come. It was there that Jesus showed me the heart of Christmas. Jesus stepped down to pursue the broken and the hurting and the lost." Let me stop. Did you ever think of Christmas like that? Cassie continues, "If this year broke you down, if it isolated you, left you grieving or fearful or hurt, I want you to know that you don't have to muster up cheer. You don't have to feel like a downer in the midst of celebration. You can sit at the feet of a Savior who came for you where you are right now. That's how Emmanuel works. It's God with us in the dirt, giving us hope in the face of despair." And then Cassie closes with Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 2. "Those who walk in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in spaces of deepest darkness, a light has dawned." And ladies and gentlemen, that was Jesus. Listen, folks, in our own town, or maybe in our church, or even our homes, there are those who are broken and have been crushed. Some have been destroyed by the actions of others. However, there are some who have destroyed their own lives through drugs, alcohol, domestic violence, or even adultery. Yes, Jesus loves them deeply. In most cases, these people are isolated by the Christian community. But as this young girl, Cassie, learned, Jesus came for the hurting and the broken and those who have messed up their lives. No, he doesn't justify sin, but he does forgive those who admit their sin, and he invites them into his arms and gives them his peace. You see, if Jesus forgives and restores, don't you think we should as well? To me, that's the greatest gift that you and I could give anyone. We could give anyone at any day, particularly at Christmas time. So on this Christmas day, why don't you consider giving forgiveness and acceptance to those who have messed up their lives? You may discover that your forgiveness and acceptance may be the greatest gift that they have ever received. Father, I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for Christmas. I thank you for why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to forgive and repair those who are broken and messed up. He can take the broken, put it together, and turn them into pure gold for him. Father, help us to join with him and start accepting those that other people reject. You did that. Father, may we do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.